This is Low Moon Origins, and the story continues.
He motions to the guy that's been blabbering, and the guy falls down unconscious. Okay. And there is a greenish energy again.
Looking for my mind brain
there. One second. Right? This is... I am Thalos.
Who are you?
I'm Jasmine.
Are you a guest here?
Yes. Just arrived today.
Yeah, at that point, the monk drops to his knees, takes handfuls of the dust of the beast, and he throws it up in the air like this, and as it's falling down, he goes, and he hits it like 10 times. And then he stops and he looks at his fingernails, and he's got it under his nails, and he starts picking it out. He says, "It's dead." Oh, he looks at his friend. I'm going to sound the alarm.
Attack's over now.
There could be more. It is unlikely. You should take your friend to the infirmary. He looks infirm. Yes, sir. And walks over and scoops up the unconscious guy. As he does so, the guy starts to stir slightly, and he says, "Blah blah 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 blah."
He's a wise boy.
Classic for both.
I've got you. I think your brain is damaged. Oh no, Bob! Thobob! Thobob!
Can he be like one of our like NBC buddies now?
Can we keep him?
The Adventures of Boom Boom Boom.
All right. So he quickly walks out of the room, which is like 3 times as fast as you normally walk. The door rings shut behind him. Inside, you hear somebody say, "What happened?" Just as the door is going shut. Okay. Was it you that caused the magical spike?
Yes.
I thought as much.
It's not my intention to cause harm.
That seems a joke.
I don't believe you caused any harm, but you obviously drew the beast. Will the barb be okay?
You can be a medical attention. Just get this around to us.
Oh. Is he sleeping or comatose?
He appears to be comatose.
That is not good.
I think that's why something could be off.
For an animal, that's about a killing blow. I won't stand for it. I've got a good lamb here. Keep him alive. Her? Her alive? Is it a boy? Has it had the opportunity to have offspring?
Not that I know of.
Would you want to do something like that?
It can't be. This just can't be.
I want to do something like
Okay, so go find something I'll to play with and do it.
Text about to the lab. If you want.
Can you show me how to get there?
Surely.
You can do both.
There are guards all over the place. They're like human signs. You just say, I'm going to the lab, and he says, that way.
Just show me. Don't call me Shirley.
Okay.
I expect if you go inside, you won't encounter any more brain beasts.
I hope not. Thank you for your assistance.
That was pretty easy.
He's probably been lurking there a long time, waiting for someone tasty like you.
Probably.
It's a good thing you hurt it. Made it easier for me to put it down.
I tried. My blows didn't seem to do a whole lot.
They're immune to a lot of things. Magical weaponry. Fire. Lightning.
Rain away.
More, I think.
Try not to push on that table.
Yeah. It can't happen twice in a night.
It can when you're pushing it that way.
Don't risk it. It'd be that thing.
Yes, and
would you like
Ron
me to look at your wounds before we go in?
I'd help.
You are bleeding.
If you can, yes. Or I'll speak to healers once I tend to my bird.
Charge?
Yeah.
Can't really do anything for you right at the moment.
He doesn't laugh, obviously.
It'd be funnier if he did.
This is, there is some poison in your wounds. I might be able to do something about that.
Okay.
He raises his staff and touches you on each shoulder.
He's casting.
A greenish, speckly flow of energy pours over you, and you receive 8 hit points back. It is not healing. It is a reduction in the damage of the poison that you took. So you can still be naturally healed.
Does that feel better?
Yes. Thank you for that. Jesus! Thank you already. Anyway.
Right. This time, a couple of additional monk guards arrive. One of them says,
maybe.
Master Thalos, I didn't know you were involved in this. What was it? It was an intellect devourer.
Oh. They look around.
It's dust now.
Okay. Are there any more?
No, but you should meticulously search the garden just in case. Spend no less than a couple of hours.
Okay, we'll do that. As they walk away, he snickers.
There aren't any more. It's just funny thinking of them searching the garden 2 hours in the rain. Stupid monks.
Just trying not to.
Is this Tusk form?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's clearly a half-orc.
Right.
Leaning more toward orc, perhaps, in his facial features.
Again, thank you for your assistance. I'm going to tend to my bird and seek healing.
I'll walk with you as far as the lab. You smell good.
Thank you.
He holds the door for you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Quickly, you arrive at the lab. Yep, the bird is comatose. Yep, probably going to be a week at least. Yep, they can keep it alive. Also, you see a giant alien jungle cat sleeping in the corner.
Yeah, that's great.
Under a blanket.
Space cat.
All right. Well, that was unexpected.
And then I will keep healing for myself.
Okay. Yes. Heal us.
Space cat.
The local healers can benefit you more than Thalos himself could. To the tune of 17.
17 structural. That's a lot.
It's 17 20ths of a lightning strike.
Do I clear the poison points? Do I need to keep track of those?
Or 85%.
So the 8 that he gave you back, you still have back. That's fine. The other poison damage you took just counts as normal damage now.
Okay.
2+2=4. Quick maths.
Yes, but 6 divided by 2.
I took more damage in that combat than I did in the entire mercenary fight, and I almost lost my head. Just saying.
Yeah, that's so rough. You're having a rough day.
Yeah, one year
on the way to the lab, he did fill you in on this. He says that, that he is part of an adventuring band called the Verdant Hand. And that he is Verdant. And he is here to, they are here to consult with the sage.
That's what you're saying. She's done.
He did. I guess he doesn't get into exactly what they're asking about, but he does say that they are here to for an audience with the sage.
You should be
tailing her more. I don't want to tail her. Then I have to fight things.
Oh, my companions are also here.
I'm gonna check and see if you ran into any of his friends on the way. So on the way to the lab, checking to see if you ran into his friends.
We don't have
one additional.
Okay,
you run. He has a friend who is an elf. And he addresses her as Lyrian. And she is an elf who carries a spell book in her left hand, wears a long sword on her left hip, has golden hair, violet eyes, and like, even though she's walking around the palace, she's carrying the spell book in her hand. She has a standard size spell book, about 4 inches by about 20 inches by about 30 inches.
That's heavy.
Yeah. That doesn't seem to bother
her. I would not do that.
She's way green.
So anyways.
Ooh, I wonder if that would work for my bodybuilding if I just carry my spell books.
Okay. And being near her, you do feel a little bit of magical friction. Like she is open to those magic, possibly drawing, but not offensively.
Okay.
Okay. And then check and see if you ran into anybody else from your own party. So that would be a yes. This is all the way across the palace to the lab.
Okay. I avoid her.
Let's see what order they occur in. All right.
I hide.
So not long, like right before you get to the lab, you run into Leon. So, before that, you run into Brian. So Brian in goblin form, correct? Or or small child form?
Small child.
Small. Brian, looking the part of a small child, is the first person you run into. You see that she's carrying a comatose
bird
hawk and being escorted by a half orc, tall, strong looking, dressed in green, very damp half orc, green and purple. And an elven woman with a long sword and a spell book, golden hair, and beautiful violet eyes. What is your wisdom?
Yeah.
Not great.
No. He could be charmed by Lorelai, so.
Single digits.
Yeah, so she's probably a bit enchanting to you.
Wow.
You'll do anything for this one.
So after you run into Ryan, he kind of lags on behind.
New You're fired, Mom. I found a new one.
This new, very young-looking, shapely mom. She's elven, so she's probably not that young, but
one far more powerful and younger. I found a new apprentice. One younger and far more powerful. The puppets in line.
Yeah. All right, and then you are just—you turn the corner in front of the lab. And you see Jasmine coming toward you. You see she's carrying her hawk, obviously comatose. You see Thalos the half-orc in green and purple. You see the elven woman with the beautiful golden hair and violet eyes, long sword and spellbook. And then you see Ryan walking along behind her with his jaw kind of hanging low.
I'm assuming you're like fully drenched.
Soaking wet.
Thalos and Jasmine are drenched and a little bloody.
I look between you and the hawk. I'm like, what happened? You look terrible.
Thank you.
I mean, not like that. I mean, you look like you're having a bad day.
Intellect devourer.
Thalos says.
Is that one of those things with, like, legs and a brain?
Yes.
Interesting.
In the sketches, anyway.
You ran into that in the palace?
In the garden.
Wow.
You're in the garden.
Casting spell.
You know it's raining out there, right?
Yes.
Ah, you need some components from an intellect devourer, Lyrian says.
It's dust. Your friend turned it to dust. No complaint.
Coincidentally, dust of an intellect of ours is one of the things I need.
It's probably a little wet now, but it's probably still there.
Daddy,
mud of an intellect of ours. I could try drying it out. Mm-hmm. Intellect of ours are immune to flames, but the water wouldn't be, would it? Are we going to have this conversation now? She seems to be contemplating her answer.
My group.
So, what happened to the heart?
She was hit with psionic blast. She's now comatose.
She's got a small brain.
In my very limited knowledge, I think as long as somebody can keep it alive, it'll wear out eventually.
Well, since I see you here, I'll tell you that I'm going to be staying overnight in the lab with Growl to make sure he doesn't stop breathing in the middle of the night. So
I think I'm going to go get some mud and see if I can turn it into dust.
You think they can help?
Say hi to the guards for me. They're searching the garden.
Not sure yet.
She skips off down the hallway.
It was nice meeting you.
Oh, you too.
Hopefully they can help my hawk.
Bye, little boy.
She'll probably be there overnight, too.
Bye.
I'm going to the garden. You want to come?
Well, in case anybody find me, I'll...
Yes?
It's raining.
I'll
going to get wet.
Sleeping in the lab tonight.
I'm tempted to say no and then just stalk her. I'll do that.
Okay. You're creepy. Get myself.
It'll just be one of the shadow. My hide shadow's wearing 5. I don't think she'll see me.
Okay. We know what Brian's up to.
No, no one knows what Brian's.
I'll be sleeping in her room tonight. Oh no, she isn't gonna know that I'm there.
You know, I'm like 30 kids each litter. You could have 90.
That is like not the, it's like the thing you want to tell a woman you're contemplating mating with.
Yeah, a little
whistle.
Next time you're
going to
go somewhere by yourself and cast a big spell.
Elflins?
Okay. As long as it's just not right outside the door. I didn't
think it was
going to be an issue.
As
long as it's not
right. If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Things are a lot less secure around here than they appear.
Why is that? So many people in house.
That's probably part of why something is afoot. Right. But it's also because the monks are inadequate to the task. Something stuck in my tusk.
Jesus. Going I start walking.
Okay. I mean, you're standing around outside the door of the lab at that point. So you go, Thallus opens the door, you go in, and you see the cat.
Does my second level X peacefully remove something from his desk?
Peacefully.
Oh, that is totally not where I thought you were going with that. Okay. No. I'm not yet at the brush other person's teeth spell. Yeah, I haven't really invented that yet.
Oh, you mean clean my teeth?
The second level variant of the first level spell.
The first druid cantrip. Clean white tusk.
Pardon, you just invented a spell.
I love it.
Oh my God,
I'm surprised you're even being this somehow. Nice to an orc.
It's like
orc hates hobgoblins. He hates hobgoblins, not orcs.
Gotcha.
Yeah, orcs, I don't believe orcs are giant class.
That is correct. They are the...
Not in Low Moon. They are in the book, but not...
Yeah, also, he's a half-orc, too, so that's a little different.
If anything, he's pitiable.
He did cast a disintegrate on the intellect of ours, so...
Not quite so pitiable.
Okay.
His mother was pitiable.
Yeah.
His mother. Or his father. One or the other. Well, I mean. All right. So, yes, they will take care of the hawk and make sure it doesn't die.
Just blame the mother.
Well, yeah. They're for everybody, so... Okay.
His father would... If it's his father, it's pretty impressive.
I'll take it.
He's a very feminine man.
Or
masculine female orc.
Or he.
Or was consensual, I guess. That's true.
Probably tastes a lot of the flavor of it.
Fairly impressive act.
You probably taste a lot more of the flavor of it.
I do taste a lot of flavor.
It's more impactful when you don't have.
I would not have tasted before. It's like kind of a round.
You guys
like
still have
vanilla. It's like vanilla ice cream. That's what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm. You got gems wise and stuff for me. You guys gave me the bag, but you didn't. I didn't get exactly what
it was. Okay. Oh. All right.
So all of that took place within the first hour or so of arrival. From that period of time on, we know that Ryan is stalking the woman.
Such a creep. I gotta keep her safe.
There's
so many perverts in your mansion.
I always feel like somebody watching me.
No, not.
Ignoring!
Okay, so I have 3 5,000 gold gems.
Okay.
Or 1,000.
Within an hour of arrival.
And
10. Hold on. Okay. 5,000.
Ren and Millie have been assigned rooms. Your rooms are not near one another.
1,000.
Okay.
Okay.
Gold piece gems.
Other than basically locating them and knowing where you're going to be sleeping, you really don't have anything you had to do. You had like dry clothes you want to try to put on or make some kind of arrangements for that.
These are my only clothes.
Oh, his was 50,000.
Okay, so you might want to make some kind of arrangements for that. Or you can go stand. There is a large fireplace in the common room. If you stand near it, you will dry off.
Yeah.
It's not an uncommon thing to do. Actually, it's pretty common.
Just double the numbers.
Yeah, probably.
Millie does have a backup set of clothes at this time.
Okay. I think she has the magical set of clothes. Because you said you got the full value.
No, I think you're just like the...
Yeah, we had to pay for the year.
Or the place I got her
$2,500
when we were traveling. Outer space or whatever.
Oh, a high, like a high quality or whatever.
So it's six never mind. She got gems I had.
Oh, here.
She probably lost
them. Yeah.
Yeah,
unless she didn't have with her. Might be back in her room or whatever. Cause
that's true.
Anyway, so she has an extra set of clothes.
I'm sorry, what?
2 5,000.
So she suggests, like, she go to her room, change into dry clothes, hang up her wet clothes to let them start drying, get something to eat, and immediately begin to kind of like try to find somebody to challenge. She needs to challenge a 10 level monk, whatever that number is. I forget what that means, but. Tomorrow's first Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and 500 gold pieces each.
So, plus 500 gold pieces would be 25,000.
Yeah.
So then, subtract. Subtract 1 5,000 gold piece gem to cover both fees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big old bag of heavy platinum. It's been a bag of holding, so. Unless Jeb is stopping.
After I go to the lab and seek the healing, I'm going to go find Taya.
Okay.
A little late for that, don't you think?
No.
Apparently not. She's still alive. I mean,
yeah. I'm not at full hit points either. So
it's funny how people exercise more caution when they're at lower hit points. It's like, I feel tired. I think I'll take friends.
How long have we been here? Not long.
About an hour.
Yes, we're gonna go real quick and kind of touch base before make sure everybody's in the same time frame here. So.
Is my woman here?
The woman that I own.
My woman.
Presumably,
she brought her here.
Okay, you brought her here.
She was an item.
Yes,
she was itemed. Oh, she was an item.
Oh yeah, I itemed her.
I'm trying to remember.
I did.
What was your intention? Was it to free her?
I wanted to talk to her first, certainly.
Wonderful talk.
I wanted to talk to her first, you freak.
Yeah, quote talk.
Privately in your chambers.
Okay. Yeah, this is not enough.
We recently watched a movie series or show series. We're actually there still in the process. I watched it while I was recovering from my colonoscopy, which the recovery was worse than the process. But anyway, and in the movie, this guy picks a lady up in a bar. Pretty nice guy, pretty nice lady. So you're not sure what to expect. Anyway, he takes her home and they talk until the middle of the night, and then they both fall asleep and there's nothing unsorted or whatever happened other than the fact that he picked her up in a bar and went home and talked for all night. That's a little sorted, but nothing like lots of other possibilities. Anyway, and so you're the whole time the scene is unfolding, you're like, what's gonna happen here? And he's like, so we want somebody to talk to, and he's like, okay, let's go talk. And then they talk, and then it shows the next morning, but nothing happened. And it's like, you're kind of wondering the whole talk thing. Okay. All right, so Do you want to go wait by the fireplace while she's getting dressed instead of like waiting in your room or waiting in the hallway or something? Okay. All right. So the cafeteria, if you will,
is currently an elf.
Okay, good to know. Sorry. All right. And so the cafeteria is pretty busy. So it's the same big room that you guys visited before that has the rectangular tables that comes out from the wall. It has a big fireplace on the wall. And the fireplace is roaring, and the room is warm. It's not hot. It's probably 80 degrees
in the room,
which is, you know, considerable improvement over the 60 degrees and pouring down rain of outside. Even the hallways in the palace have been probably in the high 60s. So a little chilly to be damped to the bone. Not that you have any trouble or anything, because you can control your bodily processes almost down to the tenth of a degree of your body temperature, for example. But point is, the capture is much more comfortable. There are others in the room who are sitting or lingering near the fireplace to also dry out from coming in out of the storm. There are like 40 other people in the room when you're out of the room. You'll see about 100. And some are clearly grouped together, like their companions or whatever is staying close together, so they all sit at the same table, that kind of thing. And so, one such group is a group of three. And one of them looks like a monk, but he is not dressed in the monk garb of the guards. So he looks like a traveling monk, basically. He has a shaved head. His head and what parts of his body you can see, the backs of hands like that, show tattoos. So he's heavily tattooed. And he does not carry any weaponry. And he's wearing basically like monk's robes, shoulder to ankle. And after a second, he realized that he's barefoot. He's 5'11", looks very physically fit, but most of his strength is like in the wiry department as opposed to being like muscle bound or whatever. Okay. He is traveling or lingering near two other persons of interest. One is a female. You would guess that she's half elf. Because she has pointed ears like an elf, but she has freckles on her face. And elves never have freckles, pretty much. Maybe with rare exception. You've never known them to have freckles. And she has jet black hair and pale eyes. And she's smiling and kind of has a charming demeanor. You notice that there is a cloak laying on the table next to her. She has taken her cloak off. And she is not wet, nor is her cloak, but she's taken off and laid it across the bench on the table next to her. And they're just sitting there talking. You think maybe one of them told a joke. It wasn't her. And she's smiling and laughing. And then the other individual is there with them. He looks very much the part of a ranger, dressed in green and brown, has a hooded cloak. Her cloak is hooded too, but it's a lighter weight cloth, like a burlap almost. And he has green eyes, very lean build, and he's about 6 foot tall. So the half-elf lady is maybe 5.5 feet, and the other two are pretty close to 6 feet. And as they seem to be kind of like just enjoying their meal, and every time you look at her, she's smiling. She seems kind of like a charming personality. He stands out to you primarily because he looks like a monk.
Okay. Is he warming himself at the fire?
They are seated in the third of the room that's closer to the fire, but they don't seem to be warming themselves or anything. They're all dry. Like they've been inside for a while. I can see if there's anybody else that really jumps out. You do see there is a dwarf with a red beard, and he mainly stands out because he's in the farther back part of the room, like from where you came in at, which is about two-thirds. So the room goes two-thirds to the right, one-third to the left, and it's about 40 feet wide, about 120 feet long. This way, 120, and you're at about like a 40 feet mark here, two-thirds of it to your right, a third to your left. He is in the back of the right section, so he's like 60 feet away from you. Sounds like a but whether someone told a joke or he said something was funny or whatever, he laughed and his laugh is like boom, and it echoes throughout the room. And you scan that part of the room and you don't see him. And then he laughs again a minute later. He's getting that part of the room, and the second time as you scan through, you catch the glimpse. You see like just the top of his head between the shoulders of a couple of other people, and you realize that that booming laugh is coming from a dwarf who is big-ish for a dwarf, maybe almost 5 feet tall, very stout. So he tends to stand out. There are a couple other elves in the room. There are some folks that look like they might be merchants or whatever, but there's a heavy mix of like adventurer types, people who look more like adventurers, or at least travelers with more than just like merchanting background. So they have some career other than commonplace. Okay, and then the last one. So you see a gnome. Yeah. So gnome monks are not completely unheard of. They are super rare, but they do exist. And
elven monks, or
there are no elven monks other than arcane monks, pretty much. That's their niche.
Caleb's in the church.
Anyway, so at first glance, he looks like he could be a monk. He's wearing very simple, kind of loose-fitting, moving clothing, whatever. And but he's about 3.5 foot tall. He has wild white hair. And on closer look, you realize that, first of all, he's wearing glasses, which is probably an indicator that he would not be a monk, because it's very rare for a monk to have failing eyesight or any kind of struggle in that way. And then he has a staff, and the staff, it kind of just looks like a quarterstaff at first, but then when you look at it, you see that there's like split lines, so the staff is... it's rounded, but it's not perfectly round. It's like kind of squarish on the sides. And where the flat sides are, there are split lines, like the staff has been split. And then down the middle of it appears to have been run some kind of liquid silver metal, like platinum or lithium or mithril or some kind of liquid silver metal. And then it's hardened. And sitting in that metal are stones, like diamonds. They look like diamonds. And so it's almost certainly a potent magical staff, and that portion of the staff is just like the top 3 feet or whatever. And so it's not a quarter staff. Quarter staffs tend to be used both ends and you quarter them. That's why they're called quarter staff. And so that gives you an indicator he's probably a mage or something like that. But he doesn't look the part of a mage. He has no backpack, no pouches, no place to put components it doesn't really look like or anything like that. So he stands out a little bit too. Other than that, there are other variety of interesting, if you're looking for something in particular, but as far as what could look like a monk that's not one of the guards,
like 2 days before I was going
to drive. I mean, knowing where you're at, you're pretty sure none of the guards are going to be 10th level. Are going to be 10th level. So that's why you're looking for paying attention for monks that are not guards, per se. You also know, however, that it's highly probable, unless they're here for a specific purpose, like as part of a group that came to ask a question or doing something or researching something like that, that if they're 10th level monks, they would probably be staying in the monastery.
Could I stand without intruding and while still drying myself next to either the strong monk or the gnome?
So it'd be feasible for you to stand to either one without intruding. But the group that has the monk in it is nearer the fireplace, even though they're not themselves drying off. But you could stand like a third of the way between them and the fireplace, and you'd be like 5 or 8 feet from them and 10 or 12 feet from the fireplace. That's how close they are. Whereas the gnome is kind of more back on the opposite side of the room and a little ways away, so he's like 40 feet from the fireplace probably.
Okay. I'll stand in that general vicinity in the chance that maybe like, right there, they'll ask me a question or, but there's no get an opportunity to, you know, ask him.
There's no negative. Did you just get in?
Kind of
okay.
Sure. What I was gonna ask him, but.
Well, whatever comes to mind when you start talking, right? Okay, so, yeah, they continue their conversation.
And for the record, I'm a nondescript elf wearing commoner clothes with a battle tank.
Yeah. Something's rotten there. Something's, he doesn't look like a normal commoner. Okay, anyway, they continue their conversation. And they are currently arguing about, they're debating the color of a dragon that they fought in a cave. And they're going back and forth between black and blue.
Yeah.
And the female, the half-elf female, is insisting that the dragon was blue. And the human, who looks like a ranger basically, was insisting that it was black. And he even goes so far as to say there were acid etchings on the walls. We saw all those etchings before we got in the cave. And during the conversation, the monk, if that's what he is, doesn't weigh in on one side or the other. But there is, it's a jovial, it's not an argument. There's a couple of jokes made. She makes a pun. You know, it's like they're enjoying. They're trying. They either intentionally are trying to give off the feel that, you know, it's just a jovial occasion, or that's just the way they are, one or the other. It almost, you would think it's almost like they're playing to an audience, but it's just the three of them. No one else is around. The only person else that could hear was you, and they obviously started the conversation before you got there. So. Okay.
I'm very happy.
Oh, I guess I do have a cloak too.
Okay.
The plus three cloak
that
I got from
the witch. I picked a rebook there, so I just.
Okay. The at a pause in the conversation where the two of them are kind of like they just turn their heads away like they've gotten done debating what they were debating or whatever, and then the human ranger looking fellow looks up at the monk and he says, "Karen, are you not going to weigh in on this?" And he says very somberly, "If I weigh in, it is settled." And he says, "Is that what you want, Torin?" And the ranger says, "Well, yeah." And he says, "Is it?" And then he has a quizzical look on his face, like he's trying to figure out what the question actually is, like he's thinking for a moment, during which time the girl, the half-elf and female, has gotten up from the table, and she turns and walks around the back of the ranger fellow and strolls directly toward you, and she has a mug in each hand, and she says, she smiles at you and says, "Just in out of the cold?"
You could say that.
"The cloud that hovers over you is speaking volumes."
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
"As the water is evaporating off of you, you're making a bit of a cloud. A steam, if you will."
Well, once I look around and say, "Oh, I see. Yes, I do suppose it is a bit warmer in here."
She says, she holds up the two mugs and one in each hand, and she says, "Ale or water?"
"I would prefer the water."
She offers it to you from her left hand.
"Thank you.
It's fresh."
"I'll take it."
She nods in the direction of the table. She says, "Karen is a monk as well. Do you abstain from alcoholic beverages?"
"I never care for them."
"Oh, so not self-discipline, just by way of habit."
I'm surprised to see the charcoal.
"I never... never really wanted to... just
never in my liking to take in alcohol.
Have you come to see the sage?
You could say that.
That seems we're all vying for her time.
This place does seem busier than usual.
Do you think it might be the oddities, the abnormalities, the strange things that have been happening?
Would you care to say more?
Well, I only have first-hand knowledge of a select small group of variables. But I would say, I heard about someone, an elf, Alara, I believe they call her. She's seeking to see the sage to ask questions about some rare lore that has just recently come to light. A shard, I think, that of a fallen star or something of that nature.
Interesting.
It's intriguing. Then there was the Verdant Hand. Surely you've heard of them.
No, I haven't. Them.
They bumped us out of tomorrow afternoon's meeting with the sage. Something about balancing nature with authority in the lands to the east of the palace. There was another woman seeking counsel with the sage. They say she came in half dead, having fought some form of ancient undead or evil beast on the edge of the Underdark or far below the mountains to the east. And now she's recruiting, trying to find someone to go with her back into that lair, which claimed all of her comrades. All told, these things bespeak a certain chaos in the world.
Indeed. All these things, plus islands randomly appearing out of nowhere.
Here's that.
Oh, you refer to Adventure Island off the coast of the Pan Reach?
Indeed.
I am familiar. Forgive me. I am Velmira.
My name is Ren.
A pleasure to meet you. You do notice that she's almost constantly smiling. She's kind of charming in that way. It's definitely enhancing her, quote-unquote, charisma, basically.
You said this is the...
She's not gorgeous, but she's extremely friendly type, like, charismatic.
So this is the half-elf ranger?
Yeah. No, she's a half-elf, but she doesn't look like a ranger. She's more looks like a merchant, really, and she's the one who had a cloak laying on the table next to her. She does not have any weaponry.
What brings you to Sarah's palace, if you don't mind me asking? Not to intrude.
Not at all. We are ourselves seeking knowledge of an ancient tomb. We believe that it exists on the edge of the Dwarven territory in space covered by the peace treaty between the monks and the dwarves, and it is our desire to have permission to go there, and then we may need some additional information about how to get in and that kind of thing. Should be a most profitable journey, I think. But as I said, we've already been bumped back twice for our meeting with Sarah, so I'm not sure if you're a new arrival and you and your companions desire to see her. I'm sure they'll have to prioritize.
Well, I am glad that she is quite hospitable, and there are other things that my friends and I can take care of here.
She says, oh, I've drained my ale. It's been a pleasure.
Indeed. All mine, I'm sure.
We'll see each other again, I'm certain. Have you already put in your request to meet with the Lady Sarah?
I believe we have. Have we?
You know someone was taking care of it.
Everybody thinks somebody else is doing it and you're just reloading.
Apparently everyone's
doing it. Okay.
Intended on putting in a request.
Yeah.
Teleported in here, like, we're going to live off the castle.
So what are you here to see Lady Sarah for?
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view.
Not.
I'm just here for her food.
I'm here for the snacks.
Lord Bob. I'm here to see Lord Bob. Lord who?
Isn't this Bob's castle? Lord
Bob's palace? I've been here for months waiting to see Lord Bob. I don't know what you're talking about.
I have paid three bribes.
That'd be a fun teleport. Every time you fail your teleport going to a castle, you go to a different castle instead that looks identical.
That would be horrible.
I'm sorry. Because
they're all the same map.
Lord Bob is in the game.
Okay. Millie joins you in the cafeteria. The two of you get something to eat and begin to plot and plan on getting connected with the monastery and finding someone for her to duel. All
right. I also share and with her.
Not finding someone for you to duel just now.
Yeah. I do share with her the info that Sarah seems to have a pretty busy agenda lately.
Okay. All right. That works. Okay. So that leaves us Taya and Dorkian, who were charged with making the request to meet with Sarah.
Yep.
Okay. You know that you've seen it. You've been to your rooms. You know that the palace is busy. You know that your party was largely separated when they were placed. Ryan, Dorkian, and Ren are all on the same hallway, but none of their rooms are adjacent. So there's somebody in between each of you, theoretically, or at least a room, whether it's occupied or not. The largest portions of the rooms are in long rows, like columns, basically. And so there's a garden extension in front of the row of rooms where Ryan and Dorkian and Ren are staying. And then on the other side of that garden is Jasmine, Leon, and that's it. So that's the closest people are together. The two of you go to the clerk, you met him before, to schedule a time to see Sarah. You know that... Are you with me, dear? Okay. You know that Kendra, for example, or somebody of that status, I mean, being friends with her, don't... In fact, I'm going to just assume that Taya knows that Kendra saved Sarah's life at one point, or at least once. And so you think that if you drop your mother's name, if you'd be willing to decide whether you're willing to do that or not, that that's more likely to get you an audience sooner. You were waiting in line behind, let's see, it's a human female with a lute on her back. So guessing possibly barred, curly brown hair. And she steps up to the clerk in front of, you know, in front of the desk. The guy sitting behind the desk is a late 60s. He looks like a monk. Probably was a monk. He's wearing this similar garb, that kind of thing. And then there is a female standing up behind him who looks, she's probably like 14, 15 years old, also looks like a monk. You know that a lot of the servants that serve in the palace are monks. The woman in front of you, he says, how can I help you? What's your name? And she says, my name is Kara. And they begin discussing why they are here. Are you eavesdropping or intentionally not listening in?
Dorkian's listening.
Okay.
Information is power.
How many of us are here?
Just the two of you.
Just two of you.
She spoke it to the wind. She spoke it to me.
There you go.
It's okay. Fine.
So she says, just checking in, some of the people said that the schedule had been altered slightly, and I wanted to know if we are still in the same slot that we were in before to see Lady Sarah. And he says, who are you? And she says, Kara. And then he says, okay, are you with the Verdant Hand? And she says, yes. And He says, so according to this, your concern is balancing nature and the Sun Palace Monastery's authority to the east? And she says, yes. And we have some very significant concerns. And he nods and says, oh, don't we all, don't we all? Yes, I have you at the end of the day today. Is that what it was before? She says, yes. All right. And he says, so be back in a couple of hours. Lady Sarah, we'll see you then. And then she says, oh, thank you. Very good, that'll work. And she turns around. And then she sees the two of you standing there. And she got her kind of, she seemed like she had a pleasant look on her face. Like she was happy with the answer. And then she sees the two of you standing there. And she goes, and then she steps around the two of you. Okay.
Bureaucracy is a sickness.
I'm sorry, sir. Did you say bureaucracy?
Yes.
Are you ill?
No. Oh. We must arrange a meeting with Lady Sarah, as I'm sure you could have assumed is our plight.
Well, absolutely. You are in exactly the right place.
Good.
Okay. He looks at the page.
That he's a grouchy boy.
You notice there's today's date. He looks at it and scans down. He flips to the next page. He says, so are you already in this book somewhere?
No.
Okay, your name is?
I have something to add to you.
To why we're here? So I can tell them why we're here?
Someone's going to have to tell me why you're here so that Lady Sarah can be best prepared for your meeting.
He may have other reasons why he's here. While I am here.
It is a multiplicity of meetings.
Yes.
Well, a multiplicity of meetings to be handled in multiple meetings, or a multiplicity of meetings to be handled in a single meeting in a larger gap?
In a single meeting. I think we need a larger gap. I will pass on the regards of my mother.
Yeah. And your mother is who?
Name dropping. Be rude. Have you ever heard of
Fonzie? No. Lord and Lady of Justice.
Just a moment. She's scanning back in the book.
Oh, that lady.
Of Low Moon?
Yes.
The very same.
Tower of Mercy.
Of the Valley of Mercy?
Yes.
He scans forward in the book. He says, I see here that the name was changed to the Valley of Mercy when the keep was completed this last year.
I've been away for a while.
So there was a really long gap in which your mother sent her greetings and you just didn't get them here until now?
No, I've seen my mother, but not at the valley.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Very good. But what was the nature of the meeting again?
We are in need of her aid, as we said, for multiple things.
I believe Lorelai needed something, but she not.
Oh, hand me another specific quill.
I am in need of her aid for some great misjustice that has been done to me. But the party at large needs something more urgent, I believe, and perhaps more.
Okay, I may remember Sherry's back.
It was something. I mean, we needed her aid for training, right? That was the big thing, was that we all, like several of us, needed training. And then I feel like Lorelai needed something.
You were going to try to get her here to get her over her being dead faster. Recovering faster.
I think that was more of a we're going whatever. So Dorkian's intelligence thing. Was there another party-wide thing or something?
No.
Or the cat?
The cat.
Well, they didn't know he was sick.
No, yeah, they didn't know about the sickness until then.
No, it was
I knew that, and I would have talked to you if you were supposed to go to the thing.
Because Ren...
Well, it was your teleporting thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your split personality thing. Most of it happens to be with you.
Yeah. So... the party is... Which doesn't have a name.
No.
You don't have a name.
No. We don't have one.
We can discuss that later.
We are requesting aid for...
It's actually good that you don't have a name.
Really?
The book doesn't have a place for a name of your group. And I always have... See here, I always had to write it in. Here's where I had to write in the Silver Flame Company. You might look at that little space. The Silver Flame Company. Most of it's over into the margin, as you see there. The Verdant Hand, that fit much better.
I see.
The Golden Horizon, also.
We are requesting aid for multiple unfortunate magical afflictions upon our party members that we believe the Lady Sarah uniquely equipped to help with.
Well, I would tend to agree. Lady Sarah specializes in magical afflictions.
Good to hear. I'm glad we've come to the right place.
Yes. Let's see here. So I covered up a bump.
I have a potential partner name for us.
No, I don't want one.
What's that? The burning hand of the fiery fist.
No.
No.
The bath?
No.
Why not?
Let's see. So,
I'm Leon, the burning hand of the fiery fist.
You mean the bot?
Is anyone's life at stake, would you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
The life or death matter?
I mean, over time, yes.
There's a box here I check for that.
There is a dangerous phenomenon regarding our party transport. It could
so,
be life or death.
Life or death. But over time, so yes. Not before tomorrow?
It depends. There are nuances to these things.
You're kind of chaotic, aren't you?
No.
What an odd question.
Say no.
What was the question?
It's just an observation.
I suppose one might call me...
an independent thinker.
Sure. Independent thinker. I say, one might call me flighty as I'm floating about 4 inches off the floor.
It's okay, you're safe. There's no box for independent thinker.
Special.
I guess I could put it here where I usually squeeze in the name of the party.
No, because then you might think that's the name of the party.
The Independent Thinker?
You could put an S on it. You could be the Independent Thinkers.
No.
No. Are you not an independent thinker?
Well, I'm very much an independent thinker. I'm not one for labels.
Burning hand of fiery fist.
If we can move this along, I have a woman to return to.
Sorry.
That is not me. Just a
bad thought. I wouldn't be returning to you. You're standing right next to me.
Farewell. Okay, so.
That's silly in this.
Roll for initiative.
I suppose...
she goes and listens to her.
I could bump the Verdant Hand from this afternoon, but if Master Thalos checks in and determines that your request to meet with Lady Sarah is being given priority over his, he might be offended. He's already sent his bard. Oh, look, there she is now. She's watching on over there. Hello, Kara.
She's like 5 feet behind you.
No, she's about 10, 15 feet away. She's in the corner.
I don't believe she knew the moment she saw it.
Well, they were bumped yesterday as well. If it's that important, I'll do it. What say you?
Fine by me. I believe nature shall survive till morn.
I think you're probably right about that, yeah. That's a valid point. Except that there is no spot in the morning, so that means I'd have to bump everyone or just move them back. I think I'll just move them back to tomorrow afternoon.
They're being at the doctor's office.
Why do I feel like we're going to be going out to deal with nature?
Southern West Coast newspaper. Nature fails in morning outbreak.
Due to the independent
thinkers. People from the burning hand of the fiery fist.
I'd be like... I was not a part of this.
Well,
I had no...
This afternoon. Come back in a couple of hours. Kara!
Oh,
let's go.
Becky, I had no friendly relations with that party.
I bumped you to tomorrow afternoon. Do you think Thalos will be angry? Yeah. Probably. He usually is. Will you be okay? Oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm...
Don't tell me these things.
I haven't found you yet.
This is all happening at the same time.
I know. He's currently out in the garden saving my butt.
That's right. He's like, I think Thalos would be angry, and there's a cutaway to Thalos going, in the garden. It's disintegrating. Okay. All right.
Not the greatest intellect of wisdom.
Very good.
But you're very likable.
We've cleared the line.
I was saying there's only two of you, but why?
Okay. Come back in a couple hours.
I'll keep myself busy.
He has a woman to go back to.
No need to.
He turns and floats away.
Everyone in the room watches you float away, including Kara. She's gently strumming the lute.
Menacingly.
Does he fly all the time like that?
Pretty much.
When the mage.
Held aloft by his massive ego.
It's all the hot air. Never grounded. Never grounded. Never ground. Ground.
It's like a blimp.
Ground. Float.
You know, when you open fires, like, so.
She started doing a song about
that. That's a good word for him.
Face of a goat.
No.
Face of a goat, he floats.
I assume Dorkin's gone.
I would
by
not
this
sing
point.
That when he's here.
They're going to end
I mean, you probably heard it in the distance. You were in the hallway.
However, your process is rather amusing.
I'm waiting for the next end.
This was I enjoy it. I like to string the occasional tune together. I find a little practice looting is key when it comes to putting together the right song. I find as long as I'm strumming, I rarely fret.
I gave her some suggestions.
If your friend fellows frets for the inconvenience, I apologize. Be happy to provide dinner if it's any consolation.
That's some offer, considering the food's free around here.
That's right. Hold the table.
Company at dinner.
And I'll bring Dorkian, and you can string together a tune about him.
Hey, come on, lady. It's not like you're saving any of our lives.
I will happily have dinner with you and hear your many adventurous tales.
Okay.
Perhaps the floating goat-faced man will be busy.
Likely.
The floating goat.
All right. Have you had lunch?
No.
The bell rang about an hour ago. Still being served. Let's bump it up and make it a lunch.
Sounds good.
And I'm sure my companions will be in the cafeteria awaiting the news about our being bumped back a day again.
Are you sure I want to be there for that?
Careful.
I don't know what you want.
Lead on. All right.
She strings her, puts her loop back around on her back, and opens the door. She holds it for you. She says, so, are you a paladin then?
I am.
Kind of small for a paladin, aren't you?
Sure. Looks can be deceiving. I actually value that. I am often underestimated.
I am often underestimated as well.
Look at you, you made a new friend.
Tay doesn't need to make friends either.
Bonding over being underestimated.
Yeah, she
hangs out with a bunch of older people.
I should probably mention to you that Phallos is a fairly powerful half-orc druid.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
He can be caustic.
Not evil?
Oh, dear.
Oh, he can be evil. That's the way druids are. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're evil, and it sort of all balances out in the middle.
Describe that very adequately.
James,
I want to describing things is a thing I do.
Chaotic.
Oh, this way to the cafeteria. She stops at one of the monks in the hall. She says, this way to the cafeteria, right? And he just goes,
and did something evil.
Points in the same direction she was headed. That's what I thought.
Sorry.
No.
At least he still remembers. That was funny.
Okay.
Just keep randomly running into that guy.
Is it a magical coma?
There's something wrong.
Dan, Leon's plan is to go get food and I guess some normal clothing, then head back to whatever time I think the lab is.
Yeah.
We'll be back before that.
Actually, yeah, you have plenty of time before it'll close. So, like,
I just don't want to be in anybody's way before they.
66, dude. Oh, sweet. 95. Ooh, there's more extremes here.
Dorkin's practicing magic to see if he can perfect
clean white teeth. Very random. Dorkin's what?
Practicing with magic to see if he can perfect clean white teeth.
No, he's actually going to talk with his woman slave.
Who has clean white teeth?
Yeah, that's why he was wanted to clean white teeth before he talked with her.
Right.
Oh no, what's she gonna do? Leave?
Actually, he's been a slave. We need to have this conversation.
Only for a couple days.
I think he mostly he bought her to free her,
and they just didn't quite get around to it.
Is it?
Or he bought her
okay,
to
Okay, I've taken you away from everything you possibly know. You're free now.
I mean, I'm sure she's pretty blacked out already.
Is it illegal to...
Oh, she's a dancer, in this
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah,
this is Danya
dancer.
The dancer. Oh, okay, now I remember who she is.
You're going to jail, buddy.
That sounds chaotic.
He doesn't own a slave. He's friends with one.
You should obey the...
That's what they all say.
I'm not your master. I'm your friend. Now work.
Tell him we're friends, slave.
I went to
we're
auction
friends.
House. She was being held prisoner at the auction house. And there was a bounty you had to pay in order for her to be allowed to leave. I paid the bounty. Now she travels with me. Always.
Against her will.
And she dances when I clap. See?
Jay does not want to fight you.
And every day I create a clone of her.
And then they all clap dance when I clap. Yeah.
That's terrible.
And a one, and a two, and a...
I'm creating an incremental flash mob.
And a one, and a two. Yeah, and a one, and a two, and a three.
Every morning he's like, I wish.
For more Annas.
I wish one more.
Plus one Anna, please. Show them on the screen, plus one Anna.
An anaconda shows up. Ah, that's not what I meant. Totally not what I meant. No, roll finished.
No, Anna does the conga. Right?
Conga.
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 Sorry.
Anna does the conga.
Anaconga.
Anaconga
line.
Anaconga line?
That's what I want.
Anaconga line.
That's why I keep making more.
Anaconga line dancer. Your turn. Wow, we could make this a very, very long before and after, before and after, before and after, before and after. This game is a lot of reading.
Yeah, it's...
Well, we could skip the story.
Things I like about it. Things I like the least.
I don't really care about the Alvin story. Interesting.
Yeah, skip over all the stories.
He's like... I'm an apothecary, and people should also be good apothecaries like me, instead of trying to, like, bribe people to heal them.
How did you pronounce his profession?
Apothecary.
Apothecary?
Yeah.
Apothecary.
What's the actual name?
Apothecary. He's saying
well, that's
apothecary.
The
apothecary.
Well, no.
He's got the consonants mixed up.
An apothecary is where is like the business. I'm trying to think of what the name of the guy who practices that
I'm
is.
Pretty sure
I think
it's the
same.
Yeah, but they're calling them apothecary.
I thought it was too, but it's definitely not an apothecary.
I honestly don't know. I'm just bringing it up because you know magicians practice magic.
I'm a plant doctor.
So something practices apothecary.
So it's apothecist.
Apothecist.
But also
apostrophe.
But also bear. B-E-A-R. And bear, B-A-R-E, are two different things.
Yep. I would English like to be smart. An apothecist, just because.
And bear, can mean
you can get a job as an apothecist, you can
or
stop
animal
conversation.
That tears your face off.
You can be guaranteed. What do you do? I'm an apothecist. A what? Apothecist.
I'm an apostrophe.
I'm an apothecist.
I'm just saying, somebody who's pretending and gets it wrong.
Apothecaries were the guys.
Okay.
And they prepared, dispensed, and sold medicinal herbs, drugs, and other remedies.
They're plant doctors.
Is there like apothecation?
They commit apothecation?
Apothecide?
Apothecide.
If I was an apothecist. and I committed apothecide, it would be an apothecicide.
No, it's when somebody...
I'm sorry, I started...
when somebody murders an apothecary, they committed apothecide.
I think I have an apothesis.
It was an...
We're a little off topic here, guys.
An apothecist okay, atrocity.
This is a bit nitpicking again.
apothecist atrocity.
One person asks one question.
It's an apothecist atrocity.
Apothecity.
Yeah, there's no direct verb form of the word apothecary.
Where is she? Okay, I got to be close. Oh, there she is. Okay. All right.
Let's just remember that this all started from Tommy's horrible pronunciation.
So you have waiting for you in your room when you come back to your room.
Yep.
She did have any extra clothes. So when you come back to your room, she has hung her clothes up to dry. She's buck naked. And she's doing like
she's not asleep.
Downward dog yoga stretches on the floor. You open the door.
At least not first.
She's unfazed.
He opens the door and floats in. Yeah. She just looks up at you like she's stunned that you're there. She's
do you need clothes?
Yes. Or at least dried.
This door can pick up something though.
There's no fireplace in this room, so they're not going to dry very quickly. I got myself dry. She motions to her perfect form. This dancer's body.
Does Dorkin think that...
What's Dorkin's wisdom? It's pretty high, right?
Like 16.
You're fine. Yeah.
Okay. Is it 16 or is it 16?
It's either 16 or 15. It
doesn't matter. It's like, she's human, so she cannot have a 30 with cumulus. Although she's naked, so that probably raises her cumulus by a margin.
And she's a dancer.
And she's a dancer, yeah. It's plus one.
It's already factored in.
Does Dorkin know if that's something that the... monks would do? Do they have like clothes that they could
provide? They have monk clothes. Okay. Like loose fitting clothes that they will provide. That's true.
I'm sure I could gust of wind her, but like.
Well, you could gust of wind her clothes.
And then her hair will billow.
I mean, it'll.
Like a fan.
Maybe not a single gust of wind, but a steady breeze, which you can easily generate.
Yeah. I mean, certainly once. As soon as he enters the room, if it's dead in there.
Yeah, so it's breezy. Her clothes are leaning over. Her hair is gently swinging.
It's like the table and it fell, but...
After a moment, she's cold. She goes and gets in the bed and covers up. Say,
at least cover yourself with a blanket.
I'm sorry. Have I displeased you?
Oh, don't be weird.
Her eyes are big. She looks like she might be tearing up.
Oh, she has never dealt with a man talking to her that way.
We both know you are not here as a slave.
I apologize if I've offended you. I was not meaning to speak to you as if I were a slave.
Lord, spare me. Look, I have bought you to free you, but had I let you go back in that city, what do you think would have happened? Besides, it's much nicer here. I knew Loman is a great country. That being said, it would seem unbefitting to me to buy you, bring you here, and then let you go without knowing anything about you. So I figured I'd at least talk to you first.
Yes. I prefer you talk to me first, yes.
And surely, I would like to talk to you as if you are a friend, and not some weird subservient thing.
Skills wow. are incredible.
He's so right good now. With people.
His charisma is 9.
That's average.
He's real. Yes,
he's also an elf.
Yeah.
This
is like, yeah.
You're playing it fine.
It's average elf. Oh,
she says, I was attempting to use etiquette on you, and it appears I have failed.
Etiquette for what? A slave talking to a master? In that case, you just were in the wrong place.
No, not a slave to a master, but one of a lesser social class to one of higher.
I don't have much of a social class.
The Prince Albert series on Kindle features Prince Albert, the young errant prince of the kingdom Geoff.
Convey yourself as a baron or a nobleman.
What was her name? Hino.
Danya.
Look, Danya. There's... I am not
have you increased the wind in the room even more since you've been in here?
Yeah.
Okay. So her clothes should be dry in maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yours
I
as well.
Exist as a being unlike anything you've probably ever seen, and so your understanding of social classes really doesn't apply to me. I was born on a different plane, an elemental one, and I exist of energy from that plane and not this one. And so I am not a baron. I am not a king.
So where are you standing in the room at this point? Is this the bed? And the line that the clothes are strung on?
He didn't quite get all the way past the doorway area.
So he's just right in front of the door, basically.
Yeah, he's just kind of standing there.
You close the door, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think of me more like the East Wind. For as long as I maintain corporeal form, I am more of a constant than an authority. I will exist, and I will exert the will of some greater power upon this plane, and then I will leave, and things will return to the way they were.
I'm not a baron.
Don't worry about the way you speak to me, or some concern for my thoughts or feelings.
Because I don't have them.
I act as an extension of the winds and their will. That being said, I am mortal, and so I have those mortal things that all men pretend to love and secretly hate, like loneliness and compassion for others. And so here I am. And I'm going to ask you, Danya, who you are. Your name is Danya. Do you have a family name?
She's like, her jaw is slightly slack, her eyes are huge. Like, she's still trying to digest that tirade that explained, like mysteries of the universe that people, like, search out over thousands of years, and you just, like, launch them all in one paragraph. She pulls the pillow from behind her, and she goes, la 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 la.
Okay, I gave her insanity.
She falls over in the bed. She's got the pillow on both sides of her head.
One conversation made her insane. Dorky.
That's not bad. It's pretty good. You do the record.
It occurs to you that maybe that was a lot.
It's
going to take a minute for her to kind of like give her a minute.
And Dorky, the mind taker.
He pulls his legs up into like a sitting motion 3 feet off the floor,
okay,
and starts reading through his spellbook.
Okay. After about 10 minutes, she peeks out from behind the cover, looks at you, and then she pulls the cover up over her head.
It's never going to work that way.
La 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 la.
Do I still have quad burst in my room?
Oh, no!
I don't know. I don't think so. I think quad burst
does this happen every time you buy women?
Yep.
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, nature anyway. Okay, so you will float in your room and study. After about 20 minutes, it'll be clear that her clothes are dry. And as long as you don't say anything to her, she's going to get out of bed and go put her clothes on. Do you say anything to her when she gets out of bed?
No.
Okay. She keeps looking over her shoulder at you. Like,
when she gets out of bed, Dorkin will slowly rotate away from her in the air.
Okay. All right. That's a good plan. All right. So behind her, behind you, you can hear very faint noises of her getting dressed. Mostly you just hear the breeze, though.
Meanwhile, in the garden.
So, at about the half an hour mark, you're looking away. Are you still looking away at that point? Looking at your book, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. She taps you on the back.
She'll slowly rotate back around.
She holds her hands like this. She is, and her hair is like really tangled in a mess. She goes, I need a brush.
What are the odds that Dorian would have one of those?
And maybe a mirror.
He does have long hair.
I
think he would have a comb or a brush or something.
I agree. Yeah. But You're supposed to track your own equipment, so
it's just something.
It's been a rough month.
It's something that he would think about, and I would not as a player.
Where's my
I wish.
So he's chaotic. Just roll even odd. Roll even. He's got a brush. Roll odd. He doesn't.
Where's Dorkin's hairbrush?
Even
brush. Nope.
No brush for you.
What about a comb? Can I roll for a comb?
Sure.
A different. Okay, even comb. Eight.
Yeah, you have a comb.
So you have a comb.
Yep. Okay. And then mirror. I thought I had a mirror on my character sheet.
Or detangler spray.
Conditioner.
Yeah. There's a spell component.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Well, unless it's a spell component, in which case I might.
You need it for like magic mirror.
He doesn't have that spell.
Alright, so you give her the comb?
Yes.
She has a fucking mirror.
Do you say anything when you give it to her, or you just pull it out and hand it to her?
He doesn't say anything.
Okay. She says, she seems to be thinking, and then she says, Abuel. Abuel. She takes the comb, which is brush in Elven.
I see. I don't have one. I have an ally who might, but I'm sure she's out. Give me a moment. I may be able to figure something out. I am a magic user, you see.
Well.
She motions to her hair. She says, magic would be faster.
I don't think there's a spell that does that.
Are you saying that out loud?
Yeah.
I wish.
You're saying that out loud?
I don't think I have one for that.
No. That I mean, money?
A small amount in a malleable fashion. Like some caught up in assets.
So is that a no?
How much do you need?
I mean, a gold piece?
Oh, well, certainly.
It's a brush. Four. I recently bought a woman.
Well, that does explain it.
He's in debt for that, by the way.
He's in debt for that. Did you give her a gold piece?
Yes.
Okay, she takes it and it disappears into one of the folds of her dress, which is quite beautiful. It's simple, but form-fitting and fluid enough to dance in, but not extreme in
any way. I could phantasmal force her hair.
Anyway, she says, I am permitted to leave.
Sure.
I'm going to go find a brush.
Oh, no.
Would you mind if I came with you?
She goes to the door and magic hairbrush.
There are many powerful people here.
A fair detangler.
You will protect me?
Oh, certainly. We are friends.
She's thinking. She says.
So does it mean Dorkin has to buy
Eldunavar, which is
it's worse, okay.
The Elven word for fortify.
Sure.
Sure.
You keep asking me things in Elven.
Are you an elf? You don't speak very good common.
Firstly, that's a complicated question.
Right. So,
you should provide some dollar there.
First time you get freedom.
Front edge of the wind.
Get him up the money and the pencil over there.
I take elven form.
Hey, that child has a bright genius.
What makes you say I speak?
So is that no?
Well.
So not an elf, just like a fake elf. Like a looks like an elf.
Yes, I am shaped and physical as an elf.
So are most elves.
Yes, but there are certain things that make an elf an elf.
Are you sure you're not just nuts?
Believe me,
you could have megalomania.
Believe me, Donya, I wish I was nuts.
At least does the spell go off?
No.
not have one.
He turns into a pile of nuts. No. But if he had a ring, I would have used it. She says, "That I don't think a megalomaniac would say that."
No.
I don't. Perhaps a messiah complex?
I could see that, but if I have a messiah complex, it is earned.
You've obviously thought a lot about this.
You know what he reminds me of?
It's all I've thought about.
Doctor Strange.
At some point...
Think about it.
I may have more to say on the topic. Right now, I've just got to fix my hair.
There's something there. Oh, he was going to say, why do you say I speak poor common?
You use a lot of words that aren't even English. I mean, that aren't even common.
You know, it's a funny designation of the language common. It kind of insinuates that all men speak it.
I agree.
I was trying to get the smell.
I believe that the common language is more intimate. The language that all living beings speak is more physical. Or, in the case of someone who is only pretending to be physical, like yourself, perhaps spiritual. Although many men have said. Anyway.
I don't know about pretending.
Maybe pretending is not the right word. It's just that you're presenting yourself as something that you really are not.
Sure.
Or that you are only for a period of time.
Much more accurate.
Which could be closer, actually, to pretending. If you know that it's temporal. Anyway. I may have you go through the whole thing again at some point after my hair is brushed.
I would be amenable to that.
The what?
Sure.
Animal? What? That looks like cookies.
Do you have a last name?
See what I mean there? You just combined like three separate words in common into one word.
I assure you that is one word. It was taught to me by a human.
Amenable?
Amenable. Meaning... it would be something that I agree to, something that I look for.
Like agreeable.
Sure,
but
it's...
just men in there because it was a human.
No. No, agreeable
because
is used
it was a
in
male.
Another context. Also, agreeable, that's two words stuck together. Amenable is not. It's its own word, all on its own.
Is agree a word?
No, but agree is, and so is able.
It's agreeable.
No, agree, able.
I don't think so.
Perhaps we shall find a dictionary on our exposition to get a brush.
A what?
A book with many words and their meanings. Have you spent
like
any time...
only? Like, it's a book with just words and meanings? That's it?
Yes, it is a book meant to contain and present words and their meanings. So as to collect that information in a single digestible piece.
And it's called a what?
A dictionary. Perhaps a word
that would be really useful for learning language.
Perhaps you can learn more common. Be a little more than common.
Oh. Well.
Have you any skills... and don't let me put down your profession. Other than dancing?
I mean, some say so.
Or that? Like for
don't distract me.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.